Joining us now, speaking of the Atlantic Division, he's in Montreal tonight, getting ready to do the Habs game. Paul Romanek, play-by-play for the NHL on Sportsnet. Paul, always great to have you on the show. And the fact that we're even talking about the Leafs and their options for the deal shows how far and how fast this team has come, right?
It's incredible, isn't it? I've done a lot of their games this year. Well, the last 3 years, actually. But, yeah, I mean, it's I like a lot of Leaf fans, you hoped, but I don't know that I could say hand on heart that I necessarily believed that they were going to be in the playoffs, and they still may not be, but I mean, the odds right now are very good that they're going to make it. And, you know, full marks to Mike Babcock and company. They've done a hell of a job, and they're probably ahead of schedule. I heard you talking about the plan and sticking to the plan, and they are, and they have, but I don't even know, Raj, if they were being totally honest before the season started, if they would have said, yep, we'll be in the playoffs this year. I think it's even a surprise to them.
Yes, it is. Now, is that in any way, I don't think it is, Paul, but I'm curious your opinion, is that any way, shape, or form a bad thing? Because some people will look at it, well, you know what, if they tanked out again and got another top three pick, that makes them even better for the future. Some people would suggest that, well, maybe you get fall a little bit too in love with the program and then you're panicked, and not panicked, but you feel, you know, you deal a Nylander to get veteran help because you think, well, why not? Let's see if we can win another playoff series. Because most teams that are in the Leafs position at this time of year in the standings are looking at ways to, you know, improve themselves at the trade deadline. But the Leafs are early in a rebuild and have so many young players that really makes them an anomaly in this position. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I think that obviously I'm not within the four walls of power at the Air Canada Centre, but I'm just a broadcaster. But I mean, I think it's probably a fair assessment to say that they are looking at this year as things being ahead of schedule, and I think that what you will gain by being in a playoff race, first of all, never mind making the playoffs, but just the pressure and the intensity that's going to be felt by these young players in their first year in the National Hockey League, to be in a race like that, the benefit from that is fantastic going forward. If they make the playoffs and go a series deep, for example, it's even more of a benefit. And in my opinion, that offsets the benefit of tanking another year and getting another high pick. You know, you're going to have the core of your team going forward the next few years. You know, Matthews, Nylander, Marner, Zaitsev, all of these guys who in their first year in the NHL have benefited from the hardening experience of a playoff race and a playoff series. And that's, you know, any coach will tell you that's an experience you have to have before you're going to take the next step. And for them to get that experience so early in their careers, that's a huge benefit.
Paul Romanek with us, NHL on Sportsnet. I'm Roger Lajoie. Paul's got the Montreal Canadiens game tonight against the St. Louis Blues. Speaking of the Blues, Freddie Anderson rebounded nicely in Thursday's loss to St. Louis, Paul. And, you know, this is where Toronto is different. I subscribe, and Paul, you've been in the game a lot of years as I have, and we've seen different cities and different markets, and really all fans are pretty much the same. You know, there's bandwagon jumpers, there's people that are, you know, really overreacting, they're fans. But in Toronto in particular, it showed you Freddie Anderson, one of the reasons, if maybe the major reason, this team is in a playoff spot as we speak, is his overall body of work this regular season. I don't think there's much of an argument about that. But McElhinney comes in, plays one good game, and then people start saying, well, yeah, give him another start in St. Louis. I think you had to go back to Anderson because he's going to be your guy. Now, if he struggles, of course, and you always want another good backup goaltender. But, Paul, if your number one goaltender doesn't give you what you want, you've got to give him every opportunity to play himself out of that position before you even think of letting the other guy have some more games, don't you?
Well, I had an old coach tell me one time talking about this very subject. And it's, you know, if you're a coach and you're making a decision about who to play in a game, never mind an important game, and your decision is between the guy who's your number one guy, and who over the course of his career, and it's a young career for Anderson, but still he's shown what he has. He's shown what a good goaltender he can be. So if your choice is between him and a guy who's been a career backup, you're going to be, you know, even if the so-called number one guy's in a slump, you're going to go with him. It's just like if you've got a goal scorer on your team who's in a goal scoring slump and you've got a power play where you need a goal, what are you going to do? You're going to put him out there and go with the odds that he will find his form and score a goal for you, because he is a goal scorer. You don't go, well, he hasn't played well the last couple of games, so I'm not going to put him on the power play. You've got to take the big picture here, and I agree with you totally. I mean, Anderson is your guy. He's had a bit of a slump. The other factor to consider is he's never played this much in his career before. He's already tied his number for career wins in a season. I think it's 22, and he's got a lot of hockey to play yet, so he's going to set a career mark. And the point being, he's playing a lot more than he has in the past. So this is new ground for him, too, and he's the guy. There's no question about it.
I totally agree. And now, that said, though, there is an argument to be made, but when a team is in the midst of a month of February that the Leafs are, 14 games in 28 days, that the backup's got to get some starts just because that's where it gets difficult. And, you know, Paul, it's people talk about how many games a goaltender could play. And we were talking about earlier on our Sportsnet Hot Stove show here. And, you know, back in goaltenders like Marty Brodeur play 70 games a year. But Marty Brodeur, some nights, was only facing 16 shots. And the schedule was quite more spread out than it is this year for this Leaf team. So fast forward to 2017, Freddie Anderson is already, you know, on target, and clearly he's going to play more games than he ever has, and the games are condensed. Do they not run the risk of trotting him out there too often that he does hit a wall physically? Or at some point, everybody's got to change their career high if they want to improve, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I think the other factor, too, is, and I always try to remember this when you talk about how punishing a schedule is and travel and all these various factors. And it's not to disregard them at all, but I think you have to keep in mind these guys are professional athletes. They are in the prime of their life for the most part. They're in their early mid-20s. They are in fantastic shape. The best shape they've ever been in. There's never been more time and money spent on the science behind athletes recovering from games, what to eat, how to exercise, what not to do. They're absolutely in as good a shape as anybody is going to be. And I think, I'm not saying they're not tired and that the schedule doesn't take a toll, but it's relatively speaking. I think a goaltender is fine playing a heavy workload of games because they are in such great shape. They're in the prime of their life. And the same with forwards and everybody else. This isn't even 10, 15 years ago. And I think that factor is overweighted maybe a little bit more than it should be. Just my two cents.
Oh, that's a great point. You're right. The compared to years ago, it is. And the travel, nobody likes traveling, as we well know, Paul, athletes don't travel the way you and I do. And
this is an argument I have with my colleagues. You'll talk about, the grueling road trip for a team. Well, most fans probably don't know, but here's how it goes quickly on a grueling road trip. You go to the private airfield in Toronto. You basically bypass you go through your own security line, so you don't have to bother lining up and going through customs like the rest of us. You get onto your private plane at the private airfield, bypassing all the crowds. You're in a big executive class seat. You get a proper sized meal and you get a chance to stretch out. When you arrive, you have a private bus that picks you up on the airfield, drives you to the hotel where you don't have to line up to check in. There's somebody standing there with an envelope with your name on it that gets handed to you, and you walk up to your room. Now, most people don't travel that way.
You don't? Paul, what's the matter with you? You got to renegotiate your contract, buddy.
Traveling does take its toll, but the travel these guys do and the travel you and I are doing, it's a completely different beast. So.
That's bang on. That is bang on. That's it. And it's worth noting, too. It's a thing a lot of people don't realize, but you're so right about that, Paul. So the Sabres come into town to take on the Leafs tonight. We'll get to your game in Montreal in a second, but, you know, the Sabres are interesting vis-a-vis the Leafs because, first of all, they're doing the same thing. They're still in a rebuild, as are the Maple Leafs. The Sabres, you know, at least on the calendar, should be a little bit ahead because they've taken more time. They got their marquee player in Eichel beforehand, and yet they have stumbled. There have been injuries, including to Eichel. That's a factor in that. Now, though, you look at the situation, and a lot of people say, well, Matthews is better than Eichel, and the Leafs are going to be better than the Sabres. Is it that easy to figure it out, or is it a case of we still haven't seen the best of what this young Sabre team can do?
I think they've been stunted a little bit because of injuries. They should, you know, looking at it, just logically go, they should be ahead on the curve of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the rebuild curve, if you will, because they've been doing it for, they've had a good plan in effect for longer than the Leafs have. In many ways, this is, you know, this is really year one of the Leafs rebuild plan. I guess maybe year two, if you want to take the tank season into consideration, to set things up for this year. But yeah, I would expect the Sabres to be further ahead, but the Eichel injury, I mean, you know, day one, that high ankle sprain that was really tough to come back from. Maybe they haven't drafted as well as the Leafs. I don't know if the jury's still out on that or not. But it's an interesting comparison, and of course the geographical proximity as well. I think if you're a Toronto fan, you measure yourself against, you know, how are the Sabres doing, and likewise. Right now, the Leafs certainly have the upper hand, but I'm like you and a lot of hockey fans. I thought the Sabres would be a little bit further along by now, but you know they're not. But it's a long race. Let's have this conversation again in a couple of years. So many things can happen, you know.
Oh, injuries, no doubt.
Injuries being the biggest, right? I mean, you rue the thought if you're a Leaf fan, but you know, Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner go down with a severe injury. What does that do to the rebuild? You know? And that's
what happened to Eichel. Yeah,
that's an analogy of what happened to Eichel. Exactly. That's going to set you back.
And, you know, another factor, too, that I find interesting, Paul, and just to play devil's advocate for a second, if we play it out, all right? You know, like, let's say the Leafs are at the cusp of a playoff spot. They trade one of their draft picks to get a bit of veteran help, and, okay, they do okay in the playoffs. The Sabres say, oh, the hell with it, season's shot. They make unload a little bit more. They move down. Then we fast forward to a year. Buffalo's got, say, the number two overall pick from this year's draft, in addition to Eichel and their young core, and the Leafs don't have a first-round pick. See, that changes the dynamic. Now, other side of that, and it's a fair one, is not winning also part of your development? I'm sure the Edmonton Oilers would have wished for some playoff success before the 7 or 8 years went by there, continued to rebuild. So, you know, it's 6-1 way, half a dozen another.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd sort of loop back to that point I made earlier. I really, you know, it's my opinion that the advantage gained by getting a taste of winning and being in that that white heat intensity of a playoff race and possibly a playoff series, I think myself that offsets the value of having a poor outcome and getting a higher draft pick. I really do. I think that if things go through this year and the Leafs get into the playoffs, and even if they go down in the first round, just the experience that the core of your team moving forward has picked up again, you know, Marner, Austin Matthews, Zaitsev, Nylander, if you want to throw Anderson in there as your big goaltender, what they have gained in dealing with pressure and being incentivized to want to take that next step, I think far outweighs having a poor finish and getting, you know, the second or third or fourth pick overall.
Paul Romanek with us from Sportsnet. Paul's in Montreal, Canadiens and Blues game tonight. What's going on with the Canadiens? You talk about a team, injuries are always a big factor. They have been decimated this year by injuries, and it's starting to show, although those points they banked earlier in the season, you know, Paul, people talk about, and you do games all year, early in the season, what do those games matter? I would suggest to you the Montreal Canadiens are pretty happy they have picked up some points earlier in the season the way they've been playing of late.
Yep, they matter a heck of a lot. Carey Price has been not playing like the Carey Price who we saw a couple of years ago, who was the MVP in the league and so fantastic at Sochi for Canada. He's not going to play tonight. The Canadiens, this is the first of back-to-backs. They've got a big game against Boston tomorrow, so I guess the judgment is that's the bigger of the games, the one coming up tomorrow in Boston. So Al Montoya is going to start this game. Max Pacioretty has the flu. He's going to be a game-time decision. He left during the skate this morning. The good news, if you're a Montreal fan, is that Brandon Gallagher was out there today, and he had just a regular white contact jersey on. So he's back in the mix. He's taking contact. He's a full practice. And there's some thought that he might play in the game tomorrow against Boston. Definitely won't play tonight. So to your point, hey, a win is a win is a win. Whether you pick it up in November out of the gate or whether you pick it up in March. And I think the Montreal Canadiens probably happy that they banked a whole bunch early in the season, and that's serving them well right now.
Turns out they would really need them. Do you see anything in particular wrong with Carey Price? Just a funk? I mean, this has been the best goaltender in the world for a good chunk of the last couple of years, Paul.
Being honest, I don't know. I'm not a goaltending coach. I can say all the things that you hear from hockey people. He looks as though he's fighting the puck. He doesn't look as though he's moving as well as he normally does. And by moving, I don't mean the actual physical act of moving from one side to the other. I mean moving into an advantageous position, getting the angle on the shooter. He doesn't seem to be doing that quite as well. That said, he's played a lot of hockey, and the Canadiens have their break coming up. They've got I believe they have their 4 days off after the game against Boston tomorrow. So maybe that will serve them well. Maybe it'll serve a bunch of guys well, and they'll be able to recharge a little bit and get things rolling again. But maybe it'll just be a little bit of rest. A big win the other night, that game against Arizona, because they battled. Max Pacioretty was a great leader, had a couple of goals and a couple of assists. So, I mean, it's not all bleak. They're not as sharp, I don't think, as Montreal fans would like to see them.
Fair enough. Finally, the St. Louis Blues, a team that faces them tonight. You've seen a fair amount of them lately in your broadcast. I mean, you make the coaching change to get everybody kind of kick-started, and although small sample size so far, that's exactly what appears to have happened to the St. Louis Blues since they fired Ken Hitchcock.
Everybody I've talked with around the Blues says it was time for a change. As we know, you've been around the game a long time, Raj. Coaches have a shelf life, and the players just they stop hearing you after a while. Your impact just same old, same old. And whether that's right or wrong, certainly that's the way it is. And Mike Yeo's come in, and he's been the proverbial breath of fresh air. You shake to two big changes right off the bat if you're a St. Louis fan watching it. Number one, he's activated the D a lot more. You'll see guys jumping up. Somebody to watch if you're going to watch the game tonight is Colton Parayko, big number 55 back in the blue line, 6'6". A great mobility for a big guy, and it's like trying to get away from an octopus if he gets on you down low. So they're activating guys like that to jump up a lot more. They get a lot of offense from their D. And the other thing that you'll notice is a guy like Kenny Agostino, big goal scorer, leading goal scorer in the American Hockey League. Blues call him up. I think it's fair to say that a normal Ken Hitchcock approach would have been to put him on the fourth line, and he might have played 4 or 5 minutes. However, he's come up, and Mike Yeo has thrown him right in there. He's playing, he's getting, decent ice time, and he's also seeing some action on the second power play unit, and he's looked pretty good so far. So a couple little changes, but breath of fresh air would be, I think, the phrase that would be used by most St. Louis fans. It was a good change, and it's been a positive one so far.
Well, interesting. Final question, we'll let you go. Jake Allen, we're talking about goaltending. Here's a guy that certainly, like Carey Price, has, even to more of an extent, a real up-and-down season and a lot of downs. But you know what? I mean, if he's got his game going, this is one thing that made St. Louis a kind of, not a favorite to win a Stanley Cup, but in the discussion to win a Stanley Cup this year. He gets his game back together, and it looks like he has too. Boy, they could be really dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, the last few games, right, they were coming off of back-to-back shutouts heading into that game against Toronto the other night, and Allen looked really good. The back-to-back shutouts were shared. Hutton had one, Allen had one, and then Allen came in the other night. I didn't see who went off the ice first here at the skate. I would guess that it will probably be Allen coming into play tonight, would be my guess. But I'm just going to head down to the dressing room now when I finish talking to you, and I didn't see. Normally, it's the guy who goes off the ice first is the guy who's going to play, and I didn't catch who skated off first. But he's coming around, and as you know, Raj, I mean, you don't need spectacular, amazing goaltending to win the Stanley Cup, but you need good goaltending. It's got to be good and solid, and when Allen's on his game, he gives them that.
He certainly does. Paul Romanek, you'll hear his call tonight. Habs and the Blues on Sportsnet. Does great work as our play-by-play team as well. Paul, thanks so much. Always great to chat with you and connect. All the best, pal.
Hey, Rog, we go back a long way to those early Marlies days. It's always great to hear your voice.